The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 541. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. It's a very special edition. In fact, it's an evergreen edition that was recorded a couple of weeks ago with my partner in crime, Gerald Glassford from, of course, the Pop Culture Cosmos. Gerald and I are going to talk about a very necessary skill if you are involved in the world of professional wrestling. And that skill is giving a promo. That's right. Promos are very important as they are an attempt to encourage fans to see matches or to come to events or whatnot. And we're going to talk all about them. What makes for a good promo? Who gives good promos? Who maybe doesn't give very good promos, memorable ones from our fandom. We're going to cover this topic from all different angles. So before we get into it, though, before we get into our conversation, I do need to thank one great sponsor, and I'm going to do that right now. I would love to thank, of course, the newest sponsor to the PVD Cast, Courtney 614 Deals. Courtney has deals on all kinds of items such as health and beauty, clothing, home decor, and much, much more. Courtney can be found on all those reselling sites like eBay, Whatnot, Poshmark, and others. The best way to keep tabs on all that she's got going on is through her Instagram, which again is at Courtney614Deals. And Courtney is spelled, by the way, C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, 614Deals. And if you happen to make any purchases, please let Courtney know that you heard about her endeavors right here on the PVD Cast. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Gerald Glassford as we talk about wrestling promos.
Ding, ding, ding. And we're back with another episode of The State of Pro Wrestling and the State of Pro Wrestling Special. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from the Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, Lakers Latest, Lakers Fast Break, and so much more right here for you. Also, as well, the PCC Multiverse. Thanks so much again for joining us. Please make sure you like and subscribe. Hit that 5-star review on either one of our channels. Please go ahead and make sure you do. Plus, to all the radio stations that still get this show each and every week, as far as the Pop Culture Cosmos is concerned, it is sincerely and greatly appreciated. And a big shout out to all who are listening or watching us right here at the State of Pro Wrestling, indeed. But it wouldn't be a State of Pro Wrestling without my tag team partner extraordinaire. He comes in at a combined weight with me at, 200 pounds. Let's just go ahead. There you go. Straight up. There you go. Absolutely. Indeed. It is, of course, a good man. Indeed. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing today, of course, at Matt Talk, but also as well, his famous show, his most famous show, the PVD Cast at PVDcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. It is, of course, my good friend, Mr. John Orlando. What's up, man?
Oh, not much. I'm very excited to talk about today's topic. I think it's going to be one that is going to be entertaining, also very insightful, and maybe a little controversial, depending on your point of view. But it's kind of something that we talked about a couple of episodes ago, and so we decided to make it an episode in itself.
That's correct. I think that this is something that was long overdue because, again, while other shows and whatnot, and they, you know, all these other shows, they do a great job in covering the I don't want to call it a sport. Let's not call it a sport. Let's just please, you know, people call it sport. The industry that they love so much in the professional wrestling industry, sports entertainment, as it were. And they do a great job in and of itself. But the one thing I rarely hear as far as it's concerned is a specific show devoted to the art of the promo. Who does promos well? Who doesn't? Some of the great promos of all time, catchphrases that have lasted throughout the years, things of that nature, and some promos that maybe, or people who cut promos that maybe we have forgotten about over the course of time as well, that just bring back in our memories, because a lot of this is going to go off the top of our heads. Some of this we prepared, some of this we just want to go ahead and reminisce, and it'll come back. Hey, remember that, remember that, remember that. So that's hoping you will do the same. It's like, hey, I remember that person. I remember that promo. I remember that time in history, in lore for professional wrestling. And it just goes sometimes unnoticed. But a pure wrestling promo, and I want you to chime in, John, on this. A good wrestling promo. What does a good wrestling promo do? And it can really shape the foundation for people to rally behind an individual, to turn against an individual. It really, a good wrestling promo can really, really get people motivated into whatever you're trying to come across.
Yeah, it's what Dusty Rhodes says. It puts butts in seats. That great promo. Look, I don't know. There's been lots of wrestlers who are great technicians who are fantastic in the ring, but they just lack that certain something when they give a promo. So to me, I always look at the promo as the icing on the cake. Like, it's part of the complete package. You know, you got to have the skills, you got to have the talking points in order to be an all around total package. I'm going to use that phrase again. But so I think that that's definitely what the promo can do. I mean, it also builds anticipation, you know, when you have week in, a week out, this person coming out and talking about their opponent. I think that from my personal standpoint, I feel like when I never much cared for it, when baby faces come out and put down the heel or put over the heel, excuse me, because I feel like that makes you look weak. That looks baby face look weak. You could give them props and respect. Hey, I respect you. You're a great technician. But when we step in the ring in Greensboro, it's going to be like that, I think, is much more preferable, I can talk today, preferable than say, you know, just, oh, I don't have a shot, but I'm going to give it all. So I think that giving that credit to your opponent is also a key attribute that good wrestling promos should have.
Again, when it comes right down to it, you know, the way it's delivered and who it's going to. And in today's age where a lot of writers, you have 20 plus writers for the WWE, you have, you know, tons of writers in AEW trying to script this stuff out for a lot of these wrestlers who just, you know, can't do it without, you know, remembering and reading from scripts. And it sounds, and it comes across as formulaic and generic and inspires nobody when it comes right down to it for a great many of the promos today. But there are still promos out there. And before we get into an all-time list, in fact, I just thought of an idea at the end of the show or near the end of the show. We're going to do a promo draft of our top.
Ooh.
We're going to take, we'll go in order. I pick one, you pick one, you pick one, I pick one, you know, as far as best promos of all time, it will go five each on that as far as it's concerned. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay.
And again, this will be a lot of fun. We're trying to incorporate it. But when it comes to, you know, what we're seeing today, you know, back in the day, if you cut a bad promo, you were given the time back in the day, as far as in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000s, when you were given the mic and just said to go ahead, here's some bullet points. This is what I want you to get across. I want you to go after John Orlando. Go ahead and talk about Milwaukee on the 13th in the cage, whatever. And that person would go ahead and start trying to relate why it's important that you need to be in Milwaukee on the 13th to watch the cage match against John Orlando, why this person hates you or why this person needs to get after you and so on and so forth, and how a person's supposed to correlate that and supposed to really inflect their passion and emotion into it. It just seems like there were really, even back in those days, there were people that were really good at it, and there were people that weren't really good at it. There were people that were given a lot of time. When you look back at some of those old promos from the 70s and the 80s, and you're really like, I think I could have found better usage of my time. But again, because of their stature, wherever they were in the pecking order, as far as behind the scenes, they were given that platform and time. But a really good promo, like a Ric Flair promo on a Saturday on World Championship Wrestling, or a Dusty Rhodes coming in there and talking about that, or even to an extent Hulk Hogan with his, you know, getting you inspired as far as the Hulkamaniacs out there, because he hit all of his tag points. Say what you want about Hulk Hogan, say what you want about his promos, but he knew which tag, you know, once Hulkamania started, yep. He knew say your prayers, eat your vitamins, etc., mm-hmm. etc. He knew which tag points to hit in those, especially those market related promos that he had to do, where you had to go ahead and you have like, what, 90 seconds at most to go ahead and correlate why he needs you at the LA Sports Arena on the 15th, or why he needs you at in Houston on the 18th. You know, he would correlate that to you in those specific promos. That's a lost art, because they don't do market related promos anymore. And I think that is a little bit of a problem, because now you're playing it on, you know, out in the ring. They're out there and they have to sit out there for anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes a lot of times to get these segments through, or backstage stuff that really comes across as super scripted when you're dealing with guys and gals who are not actors, who are not trained actors, and who are not going to be actors. So it really comes down to a point where I don't want to say promos are a lost art, because for every scripted promo that we see, there's a CM Punk, there's a Kevin Owens, there's LA Knight, there's individuals out there that can still, MJF, that can cut an outstanding promo. But it seems like there's now a clear division for those who can't and those who can cut a inspiring or, you know, very good wrestling promo.
Well, I'm going to go back to what you said at the beginning of your statement, is that, you know, they were given bullet points. The other thing that we have lost, and I'll say it's a lost art, we've lost the art of managers who then could be your mouthpiece. So if you were a wrestler who did not have the gift of gab, so to speak, you could get a Jim Cornette, a Bobby the Brain Heenan, to help you still manage to be a threat to your opponent. It could be that Bobby Heenan is the one telling you this is why you need to be there on the 3rd in Minneapolis, because my man here is just going to trip you to shreds. Like, there was other ways that you could help those individuals. So if they were a good wrestler in the ring but terrible on the mic, like Dean Malenko, that's a fine example as well. Great technician, not a very good interview. But so I think that that's another thing, that when you talk about the lost art, managers who could talk for their clients, I think is becoming, much like great promos, a little bit harder to find these days.
Absolutely. So again, it's about believing, you know, whatever storyline that they give you, whatever storyline that you work out with the promotion, as far as with that, whatever group or whatever individual that you're facing off against, and whatever, however they wronged you in whatever, you know, whether you're a heel or a face, if you're cutting a good promo, that heel or face has wronged you somehow. And you've got to feel that as far as the emotion is concerned. We all know in real life, it's just, again, sports entertainment. But in the storyline, you have to feel, if you're the heel, that you were wronged by this individual, and that, you know, the crowd that's, you know, that around you, that somehow they have wronged you as well. If you're the face, you have to realize, you know, you have to show that emotion on why that heel that you're facing off against, or that heel that you want to face off against, or that title that you want to go ahead and capture, why it is so important to you and why it means so much to you and the folks that follow you. So again, if you are able to correlate that to a audience at large and, you know, bring the passion behind it, which again, that's the part I see with a lot of these promos, John, on AEW and especially AEW and WWE. Well, no, actually both of them. I'm going to say both of them. I'm going to correct myself and say both of them, because there's a lot of scripted television on WWE, sure, sure. And it's pretty generic as well. So let's not get, you know, both out of these away. A bad promo does nothing for you, but a good promo can do everything to inspire those around you and those watching you to go ahead and keep following and support you in whatever you're doing, or really want to go ahead and see something bad happen to you if you're a heel as well.
You know, I think it was Michael Hayes that said one time, and I could be wrong on who said this, but the heel has to believe that their truth is the real truth.
Yes, it is him that said that.
Okay, so I think that that is something that modern day wrestlers maybe need to learn. That you, as the heel, if you're cutting a promo, you have to believe that you are wrong, that you got screwed over somehow, or that you by accident blinded your opponent with the Freebird cream or whatnot. That it just isn't enough to get out there and yell and scream and talk about how I'm going to rip your arm off and beat you with it, et cetera, et cetera. That you have to have a level of believability, you know, that you know that you're not wrong. What I did was not wrong. What I did was, you know, messing that person out of a title was not, it was something I had to do. I had to rescue that title from the clutches of the babyface. So, so just another level. There's just, I think that just for those folks that think, oh, you just stick a mic in their face and they just go. Some can do that and some can't.
And that's the thing, though. I want to really check. That's what I was going to, you know, ask you. Do you think some of these promotions are at fault? Because these promos, if it's not their strength, but they're still out there for 10 minutes giving you just a promo that's flatlining, or a promo that's just not doing anything, do you blame these promotions for putting these guys out there? Like, for instance, again, if it's a language barrier, if it's a dialect barrier, or if it's an issue where they're just not able, a personality, if it's just not who they are that's going to give you that inspiring promo, is it the fault of the promotion for putting them out there in the first place? I understand it's a pecking order. I understand it's a prominence that you have to have some of these guys out there, but you can find ways to go ahead and still put a spotlight and a shine on a lot of these guys without having them do a tremendously long and overstaying their welcome promo.
Well, two ways you can fix that. One, as you said, short promo. There's no need for somebody to go out there that's not comfortable to do 6, 7, 8 minutes. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But also, two, the talent gets to the arenas pretty early. You could tape stuff in the back, you know. And so if it's not polished, you could kind of polish it up and then, you know, and present it to the live studio audience as, hey, here we are, not live studio audience, but live audience. We caught up with Tozawa and Otis. Let's hear what they had to say. And then just do that like they did back in the 90s. You know, think about all the times that they had the cutaway and down in the corner, you had the Undertaker. You had somebody talking about that person in the ring. You could do that again, and no one would be the wiser. Nobody would go, well, they're doing that because they can't talk. I don't think so. I think that would be an easy way to hide things. And to answer your question, yes, Gerald, I believe that if you have a talent that constantly struggles and you continue to put them out there for promos, it is now mostly your fault, promotion or promoter.
I agree, indeed. Once again, it is John Orlando from the PVD cast, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching, listening. Truly appreciate it right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos as well. One thing I wanted to add on there, you can make it so like you can have a crutch in a, as far as out there, when you have one of these face-offs where you have, like an MJF, who is a very talented promo, one of the best on the planet, in my opinion, right now. You could have him carry you and crutch, and you know, as a crutch, carry you through an entire, a conversation. He can dominate the conversation and get to the point where the guy who cannot elaborate as well be able to go ahead and say, you know what, I've just had enough. I'm going to kill you. And then there you go. You know, you can create and inspire emotional emotions moments where the other guy does not say as much if they're not able to go ahead and elaborate more on it effectively. You can create moments in time where you have someone who can't speak as well say just a few words, but make them more meaningful. The less is more philosophy.
Well, I'll even say this from my own personal experience. I've had to do it many times as a ring announcer. Sometimes when you have a talent that's coming in to give a promo, this is where, as a ring announcer, you should know what this promo is going to be about so that you can assist them. So if that person, if that wrestler goes, oh, you know, I can't wait till we get, you're coming up on a big match in New Albany. Yes, in New Albany. You know what I mean? Like, that is another crutch that can be utilized to help keep that person on track and to kind of make it into a conversation. If that talent is struggling and the ring announcer knows what the angle is, they could kind of feed off of one another and make it much more palatable, if you will, than just sticking a poor guy out there that after the first sentence, he doesn't know what to do or what to say.
One thing I want to ask you before we get to the best promos we've ever heard. I want to ask you about age in today's wrestling society. You know, I just mentioned MJF, who just turned 30. When you talk about the number of wrestlers who can cut good promos in either promotion or in CMLL or AAA or in Japan, it just seems like to me, is it a coincidence that almost all of the good promos that are still cut today are cut by older wrestlers in their 40s or in their 50s? Is that a coincidence? Do you think that? Because it just seems like, I mean, off the top of your head, when you talk about the best promos that are of active wrestlers today, a lot of those wrestlers are not young, and I don't think that's by accident.
You got me on that one, Gerald. That is an interesting theory and one that I don't know if I can disagree with wholeheartedly. I mean, I took a few notes. I'm not going to lie. I have a few notes over here to the right of me. And when you said that, I'm like, you know, you're right. There isn't too many, quote, young bucks, end quote, no pun intended on that, on the list here for promos and or catchphrases.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, and I don't think it's an accident. And I don't want to say it can be taught. Because they do teach it. They try to teach it, you know, at the Performance Center for WWE, and AEW has their own training. And when you go to any independent wrestling school or whatnot, they do set aside time to go ahead and work on promos. But a lot of that is just if you have the gift, and then how to refine it if they realize you have the gift. But when it comes right down to it, I just see the what they're asking for in the modern wrestling society. And this all emanates from the Attitude Era, where those promo segments became longer and longer and longer and much more of an integral part of the wrestling experience. It just seems like, you know, those that are used to doing it for longer periods of time just seem more acclimated to it. Whereas the younger wrestlers or the wrestlers that are not as apt to do it, theirs comes off more as scripted, more formalized, more generic in the way that they're produced. And I don't want to say it's the best ones are just off the cuff. I'm sure to an extent some of these guys that are still doing great promos can get assistance, and they do get assistance with full scripts and things of that nature. But it seems like a lot of the guys, LA Knight has said in recent interviews that his work is he still goes off the cuff quite a bit, and a lot of the stuff he does is thought up by him and just given bullet points before they go and head on out there. And again, I'm sure if you spoke to a CM Punk or at this time Kevin Owens, as well as some of the best promos that are out there, they are probably doing somewhat similarly the same thing on what they need to touch on. They have agreements behind the stage for the most part, behind stage, you know, as far as in the back, they just, you know, I'm going to say this about you, John, blah, 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 blah. Just to let you know, just to give you a heads up. Is that okay? Okay. Okay, cool. I'm going to say something about that. All right. Just to let you know. And then please, you know, come back at me, you know, however you want. And then you would come back to me and whatnot. We agree on it. So they go out there and they talk about this stuff. And it's just absolutely, again, you know, when you see good promo work, you become much more invested in the product itself.
I totally agree with what you said, and I have been sitting here thinking. I'm paying attention to what you're saying, but I was thinking about what you've mentioned here about the older guard, if you will, who have done these promos a lot and a lot more frequently and more off the cuff, more old school, rather than having the writers give them scripts. I think there is a correlation there, probably. I mean, I've never thought of it, but there's probably some connection between those guys who have done it and those girls that have done it for a long time, and then the 30-year-old kids that are coming out of wrestling school right now.
So with that said, and once again, it is John Orlando for the PVD cast, along with me, Gerald Glassford from the Pop Culture Cosmos. Thanks again for watching us. We truly appreciate it. What are the best promos ever in your, or I guess, history with pro wrestling? I guess I will start off first, and I think the one that's most impactful, because me, it's also not about just how good it was, but how impactful it was. How much is it remembered through the course and annals and histories of time? With that said, I think it goes without saying, you and I, if we had to pick one, that was most impactful, that kicked off an attitude era, you'd probably have to go ahead and say Austin 316, I just kicked your ass.
Yeah, that's definitely on my list of best promos, because you're right. We talked about it a couple of months ago, and we talked about the anniversary of that promo. And you're right, it's revolutionary. It kicked off the attitude era. It put Stone Cold as the, shall we call him, anti-hero, I guess you could say, that caught red hot fire right out of the gates and pretty much changed the wrestling landscape. Pretty much, I would say, changed it for the good.
Forever.
Forever, too. Yeah. Because they're still doing, you know, you still see people with Austin 316 shirts. You still hear people doing his what thing. You know, so yeah, it definitely has changed professional wrestling for sure.
So what do you have as another great wrestling promo that has resonated through the annals of time?
I'm going with Randy Savage, the cream of the crop, because I thought that it was, as a kid, I didn't really think of it as being that big of an event or a promo, excuse me. But looking back on it, you know, he's right off of WrestleMania 3, losing the IC belt. His comments were about Jack Tunney allowing this to happen, the funny little coffee creamers that had a little humor to it. And again, you know, Savage had that presence. Like, he had that presence that made what he was saying believable. Even though it was kind of ridiculous and funny, it makes an impact on the character of Randy, Macho Man Savage.
One thing I want to ask you as far as how important this is in the annals of history, because it's gotten a lot of mention lately. In fact, he talked about it with Stephanie McMahon on her podcast with CM Punk's Pipe Bomb promo, which again, touched on a lot. It's a long promo, but it touched on a lot of things. Obviously, it touched on individuals that did not work in the WWE. It touched on some real life situations. And people always seem to go back on it. And for a lot of people, it's their favorite and they think it's their best. I don't think it's the best.
I don't either.
But I think it's a really dang good one as well. But I would put Austin above that 316. Just because of the moment, just because he came off a match and doing so, whereas you know, he was not in a match, CM Punk was. He just came down, sat down right in front of the audience, and then went off for 13, 15 minutes. He was given that platform, whereas Michael Hayes, when he gave Austin that lead-in, that's all the lead-in that he got. Because Michael Hayes, you know, one of the best promos of all time himself, Michael Hayes, before they went on air, he gave Steve Austin word of what was going on so that Austin could get the impetus to go ahead and think of the 316 on the fly after a match with Jake Roberts. Well, with that said, let's not denigrate any at all the greatness of the Punk promo. The pipe bomb promo is the most remembered promo of the 2010s. Let's put okay. that out there. There's no yeah. other promo that's close to it for the 2010s. Your thoughts on the CM Punk pipe bomb promo? I don't like it if he has to try to go ahead and he's tried to recreate it in certain ways. He's tried to go back to it. I don't want him to do that because, again, lightning struck in a bottle once. He's a great promo and he can do his own long lasting promos continuously. That's fine. But when don't keep trying to go down that road, because when you do, you're just it's like making a facsimile of yourself.
Well, I agree that the sequels, we'll call them, have been lackluster. Look, I remember watching the pay-per-view. I remember enjoying that promo, going, oh, snap, did he just say what I thought he said? You know, and it had that impact to it. But look, I'll say it this way. If we had a top 10 list of best promos,
it's one of the most memorable promos of all time. You can't. Sure. Yeah.
I'm saying it's on the list of top 10, mm-hmm. but it's not top three.
Okay.
So,
all right. Fair enough. I got another one for you.
Okay.
And I talk about this more in the retrospect of what would have happened if. And I brought this up, I think, a while back for you. So I don't know if you remember this conversation we had, but when it concerns The Rock, and The Rock has his catchphrases, and he's had some really great promos. There's just no question about it. He's one of the best promos once he became comfortable. I talk about a lot of times what I said back in the early 2000s about people were asking me at that point in time, do you think that Rock's going to be a movie star because he started to venture in movies? And I said, well, as soon as he becomes comfortable behind the camera, like he did get comfortable in the ring, then he's going to be a superstar. And that turned out to be a case until, you know, recently, where nothing he doesn't see successful at all. But back in the day when he was just that white meat baby face, as the term is behind the scenes as far as that's concerned, where he was just placating to the crowd and he had that Rocky Maivia stuff and whatnot. But then he got injured. And then he came back and betrayed, I think it was Ron Simmons or Farouk mm-hmm. at that point in time, mm-hmm. As far as to join the Nation of Domination. And it was the next week where he took the mic from Jim Ross, and the first three words he said, die, Rocky, die, about and how he correlated that. And he's had better promos, the way he's inflected, he's used comedy, things of that nature. There's no question about it. But when you hear that promo and how impactful it was for him, because that put him on a trajectory to become one of the top players in WWE for the Attitude Era. And obviously that catapulted him into a visibility to go ahead and expand into what he has become today. I think the Die, Rocky, Die promo for his career is one of the most important things he's ever done. And without it, or without the turn, and without that Die, Rocky, Die promo, where he felt that emotion from people telling him for months to die, Rocky, die, because they absolutely hated his character. I really think that, again, for the importance of that promo, what it did for the trajectory of his career, I think it's one of the most important promos of all time. And what it did for, ultimately, for sports entertainment and pro wrestling, because The Rock is such a major part of the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you took the words right out of my mouth, I think it's not only important for Rock, but it's also important for the WWE. And in there, that is a prime example of what we talked about shortly, just a few moments ago, with Michael Hayes. That was something like he took that information, that Die Rocky Die, that had to annoy him just a little bit, just even a little bit, that he brings it into his character and goes from there. And then The Rock's off, you know, cutting all kinds of great promos. Let's be honest. He probably, if you're asking me who had the most best promos, which I know is terrible English, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that The Rock probably had, like, I'm going to say 100 great promos.
Yeah. Once it became corporate Rock, and once it became The Rock, you know, once it became champion, once he became comfortable in the ring as a personality, like you said, it took off in and of itself. But I really think that Die Rocky Die promo, where he got, like you said, the emotion from being ridiculed for so long, that was true, that was real to him, and he was able to parlay that into an emotion. Mm-hmm. Like, again, go back to Michael Hayes and what he said long ago, as far as you have to believe what you're saying, even if it's, you know, just made up or whatnot. You have to come across like you believe what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
So what else do you have? I know that Cody Rhodes, if he was here, would say, my dad actually had one of the long-lasting promos, as far as it's concerned, that has to be considered, and that is, of course, Hard Times.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Yes, it's a great promo. Absolutely, it's a great promo, and I can still hear Dusty in my head as he was cutting it. But the platform from where it was at, it is remembered. It's been shown. WWE Vault has it. You know, it's there. But casual fans may not know it or remember it from that point in time, even if you were in the WWF, WCW, watching back and forth, because of where it went, you know, where it originally aired. I believe it aired on one of the syndicated shows for WCW. So it didn't get the kind of notice initially maybe that it deserved, but it has resonated throughout time. It has continued to live on as far as I'm concerned. And if people want to know that didn't experience Dusty Rhodes during his heyday, they can just take a look and see the kind of effectiveness as far as how he got that emotion. The crowd, you see the crowd building as he cuts that promo. I think, again, it's an excellent promo. It's something you should show a class on promos if you're at a wrestling school, for sure.
Yeah, and the best part about it is that he made it relative to everybody in that audience. You know, he talked about, think about it, when he's cutting that's 85, 86. Mm-hmm. You know, I can say that in my own family, even though I was 10 years old in 85, I saw family members struggle, you know, because of, as he said, a computer took your job. I saw, you know, the forced retirement. I saw these bad economic things happen to people that I love and people that were my family. So it became relatable. If you saw that promo where you'd say, yeah, you know what? I'm tired of all these millionaires, and Ric Flair's a millionaire. He dresses like a millionaire. He talks like a millionaire. He acts like a millionaire. Yeah, I'm fully behind the dream. So I think it solidified it. But again, I didn't find out about this promo till, I don't know, the mid 2000s. You know, 2005.
Case in point. That's the case in point. I mean, it's lived. It was there. It didn't get forgotten about. But again, for not everybody, it's always easy. It's not always easy to find. Now it's easy to find because you can just look it up on YouTube. If you hear about it on a message board or you hear Cody talk about it or whatnot, it's easy now. But for 90s and 2000s, you had to know if you knew right there about it. But hit me with another great promo in your mind.
Okay, this is another great promo, sheerly for the absolute comedy of it all. Mm-hmm. Steiner Math.
Oh, yes.
Okay, it does nothing for the storyline he was in. It did nothing for Petey Williams. It did nothing for his character. But it was just an impressive promo and just downright funny. I mean, I just can't say much more than that. So Steiner Math is definitely on my list. And much like the pipe bomb with CM Punk, I don't want to see.
Well, his son takes care of it now. I mean, his nephew takes care of it now. And when his sons graduate into the business, which might be sooner rather than later, based off of an NFL suspension that you and I both know about, with Scott's son, then I have a feeling that's going to be brought up during his career, which seems to be impending indeed. But with his nephew, who is currently, of course, Bron Breakker, he has brought it up several times as far as Steiner math is concerned. The Petey Williams face, and I forgot her name that was standing behind.
The interviewer, was that?
No, but the bodyguard. What was
her name? Yes, I can't remember her name either.
Yeah, the look on both their faces, especially Petey Williams, as this was going on, is absolutely gorgeous. If you've not seen Steiner math promo, you have to see it. Just to see their face, because they had no clue where he was going with it, and it was just absolutely classic. Petey Williams works for the WWE at this point in time. He's worked from there for many years, but yeah, it just absolutely just funny indeed. Ric Flair and the Royal Rumble, the tier MI. He had a great one. He has a great one with the shoe, where he talks about, I make, you know, this shoe is more expensive, blah blah blah. That one's a great one on World Championship Wrestling. He had many great ones on World Championship Wrestling. No question about it. But the most impactful, the best one I think he's ever made, and it, to me, I would argue it may be as far as what you're trying to get across after you accomplished a great feat. I think it's probably, for me, one of the best of all time, if not the best of all time. It's the Flair Royal Rumble with the tear in my eye promo. Because of the emotion that came out of it. Because if you remember leading up to it, he had problems with the direction that WCW was going with him and doing the Spartacus haircut and all that. And he left with the belt and, you know, the whole digitization of the belt and things of that nature. But it led into what happened with the Royal Rumble and him, you know, one of the greatest Royal Rumble ever. Bobby Heenan was never any better on color commentary than that point. Everything clicked that night, and it all ended up with a fantastic promo. Even Gene Okerlund, hey, put that cigarette out. That him even getting that one line in there spices it up even more. But you could tell that was emotional, because even though they weren't allowed to go off script or try to, you know, put in inside baseball into that, you can tell in those words that he chose, there was shots he was taking at WCW about where they wanted him to go and how they thought he was an item of the past at WCW. Jim Herd, who is who he was talking about, former executive at WCW, that's who he was going at. And that promo was absolutely spot on. The emotion you could tell he had, and in fact, that it came off like the 316 promo. It came off just after he won that Royal Rumble and had spent 60 minutes, you know, blah, 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 you know, however many minutes he spent in there in that ring. And you could just tell that he needed to get all that off of his chest. And yes, you know, you can talk about all the catchphrases that he says, Space Mountain and all that other stuff, limousine ride and jet flying, all the stuff that he says and over the years. That promo, I think, was and even the ones on Nitro, or when he, you know, came back and he was just tearing off his, you know, stuff and going crazy and all that, like a crazy old man in the 90s, all that does get superseded by that Royal Rumble promo, because I think in that moment, that was just a peak moment in his career, where he was telling the world and he was telling WCW that his career was not over yet.
Yeah. Again, here's another example of believing what you're saying, going back to the Michael Hayes principle. You know, Flair had something to prove. Obviously he came to at that point, WWF. Obviously, Vince knew what he had and how to manipulate what he had with Ric Flair. You know, and definitely what you said makes perfect sense to me, because I got to be honest, I didn't remember that promo until you mentioned it. I'm like, well, because I struggled for one for Ric Flair, because there is so many promos that he has that are out there that are, you know, talking about this opponent or that opponent or whatnot. And he's one of the greatest on the mics, mm-hmm. let's be honest, okay? Maybe not so much over the last, say, 10 years or so.
Well, yeah, let's not go into his Twitter stuff right now.
Yeah, let's not. Anyways, but yeah, I'll give that one to you, Gerald. Definitely an emotional promo, much like connected to Flair. Is I'm going to say one of the other ones that's really tugs at your heartstrings is the Arn Anderson, you know, where he's
giving up this really spot. really good promo. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was on my list as a great promo, one that was indeed incredibly heartfelt.
Absolutely. Arn Anderson can cut a great promo. Absolutely. It's the one thing that he could do really well. He was never given, I think, the just due. He didn't have the greatest physique. He was always in the Four Horsemen, where he was always just the enforcer. He was never really given a super push. You know, there were always reasons why he was just at a certain level. But when he cut that promo, it just seemed like WCW always said, you know what, we need to fill some time up with something good. Hey, Arn, can you cut a promo? You can always just tell that he was put out there. Can you know what? We need a good promo. Can you fill this time? Can you fill this time for us? It just seems like that's what he was there to do. Absolutely excellent promo, right with Arn Anderson. But we're missing the greatest promo of all time, bar none. I think you and I would both agree.
What's that?
Yep. From Jeff Farmer. In IPW.
Oh, you know what? I have that on my list too.
Yep. Oh, if you don't know, everybody out there, I want you to take a moment. If you are interested as far as the worst promos, because there's been a lot of bad promos. And I don't really want to go down the list of bad promos, because if we did, we would be here for like 9 hours and probably both of John and I would have headaches. So I'm just going to say, YouTube, go there, Jeff Farmer, yep, and that'll come right up. It is absolutely the worst promo, but it is gained infamy in and of itself because of just the way it was presented to him, just the way it was, the way he just, you see it, the as far as, it's all the old deer philosophy, the old deer vernacular, you know, deer caught in the headlights. You could see once that mic was given to him, the deer caught in the headlights, and he had that look, and he had just whatever he wanted to say. It went and left town. So basically, it was yip, and he tried to struggle through a promo about getting after someone and blah 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 blah.
Motley Crue.
There you go. But the end, just the yip, just absolutely just stays with us. And it has been mocked. It has been, you know, represented several times over the course of many years, and it will live in infamy and professional wrestling lore, indeed. But before we get to our top 10 promo draft, catchphrases are a part of it, especially now more so. The Attitude Era brought it out as far as catchphrases, so that the fans could follow along. Give me some of your favorite catchphrases and the ones that most resonates with pro wrestling. I mean, because now everybody has a catchphrase, you know, L.A. Knight, yeah, and yeet and all that stuff. You know, everybody seems to have a catchphrase now that everybody has to go through. But tell me some of the ones that, you know, that got it to that point, in your opinion.
Well, I think the first one is incredibly short, but because of the character, it matched up so well. And that's The Undertaker, rest in peace. I think that catchphrase, I mean, there's none better that matches the character. Being a big Legion of Doom fan, I think, oh, what a rush, is another very good catchphrase. It's short to the point. It kicks things off for them and their entrance. This one is an underrated one, but I mean, Taz and ECW, beat me if you can, survive if I let you. Fantastic. And I could do a whole show on how much I love Taz, because Taz was just a great character. You know, not a bad commentator, but he was just great in ECW. I think that you have to give Hulk Hogan credit with What You Gonna Do. I mean, you have to. And I threw in there as my current nominee, MJF. I'm better than you, and you know it. I mean, again, you're talking about like The Undertaker matching a catchphrase to a talent's character. There's none better than that one. You know, the rich snobby guy telling you that I'm better than you, and you know it. So,
finally, The Rock has come back, and if you smell what The Rock is cooking, obviously those two are very prominently part of The Rock. And plus, you know, SmackDown Hotel and all the catchphrases that he added on there. There's so many that he added on during that course of time. I Have a Nice Day from Mick Foley, of course, also as well. A Bang Bang from him as Cactus Jack. Booker T's Can You Dig It, Sucka? Love that one when he goes off on that one. I want to go ahead and say, again, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Going back to Ric Flair, that was something that back in the 80s when he was on his perennial World Championship Wrestling or NWA World Title run, he would go back, you know, Space Mountain, the whole nine yards, limousine riding, kid stealing, wheeling, dealing, son of a gun. But also as well, again, to be the man, you got to beat the man. It's still said today by so many individuals that emulate Ric Flair and still appreciate Ric Flair for what he's given to the industry. And said, you know, said outside through various cultural channels. Still, as far as to beat the man, you got to beat the man. That's very common indeed. Anything else? You want to go ahead?
Not that I could. I was going to throw Raven on the list because I thought Raven's promos, especially in ECW, were good, but they didn't have like the catchphrase. It was just going to be him whining about how things didn't turn out well for him. So I disqualified him. I took him off the list, but.
As far as Jesse James and Bart Gagne with you better call somebody. Oh, you didn't know? You better call somebody.
Yeah. Or Ernest the Cat Miller. Somebody call my mama.
I think that's not as well known because of how Ernest the Cat Miller's career ended up. But I think that was a good one. I remember that one. Yeah, when he would say that on Nitros, but I definitely agree. Hard, you will serve hard time with the Boss Man. Obviously, a good, a memorable one as well because of the recent docuseries as far as from the dark side of pro wrestling from Vice. You know, they did an episode on him. So yeah, absolutely, some really memorable catchphrases. But before we head on out, my friend, with the last 10 minutes of this show, here it comes, my friend, the top 10 promos. And then again, there are many guys that cut guys and gals that have cut excellent promos over the course of the years. So guy or gal, let me know in the comments below or popculturecosmos@yahoo.com or the PVD cast, who you think are the best promos and best catchphrases of all time. But before we head on out, my friend, we've got a draft and I'm gonna let you draft first as far as your top five promos. I'm gonna let you go one. And then I'm going to go snake draft 2 and 3, and then we'll go back to you and so on. Is that okay?
Yeah, that works.
Okay. Your number one pick for your overall promo, as far as who cuts the best promo.
Okay. Who cuts the best promo?
Well, your best promo person.
Okay. Okay.
If you're running a company and you could go throughout time, who would you go ahead and have that, and you had to give one promo to start off your company, who would you give that to?
Ooh. Look, I'm going to say best promos. I think you got to go Hulk Hogan. I really do.
That's your number one.
That's my number one. I'm going with him.
Yeah. I'm going with number 2 and 3 in the snake draft, and I'm going, Steve Austin and Ric Flair.
Then if I'm going 4, I think you got to go with The Rock.
So you've got one. You've got The Rock and Hogan. Okay. All right. Number 3 for me, I'm going to go Jim Cornette.
Ooh. I'll match your manager by saying Paul Heyman.
Okay. So you got 3-3. Number 4, I'm going to go CM Punk.
Number 4, I'm going to go with this one. This is going to be an oddball one, but he doesn't get enough credit. Ole Anderson.
That is an oddball one indeed. I would have taken Arn as far as the Anderson. But Ole Anderson. If you want mean and grumpy, nobody does it better than Ole.
That's what I mean. That's what I...
If you want mean and grumpy, there you go. Okay, all right. Fair enough indeed. So I've got... Who did I got on my list? Okay, I've got Austin, Flair, Cornette, Punk. My last one is Mick Foley.
Okay.
You know, if you want a long promo or a short promo, he can do either.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. And I got one more, right? Or no?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
One more.
I think you do. Yeah, because you got Hulk, Hogan, Rock, Ole Anderson, Paulie and Heyman. Paul.
Last one. Jake the Snake Roberts.
There you go. Absolutely. Excellent. Yes, we haven't talked about him. Jake the Snake, one of the best psychological promos, because he could go into a long detailed promo and it would have you riveted as far as his ability to cut a promo. He didn't have catchphrases. He didn't have a need for that. I think his area where they told him to go ahead and, or, you know, lean more into the religious aspect, I thought that was taking a little bit away from his ability to go ahead and really give a great promo. His sinister promos when he first came to WCW and was going off on Sting, or when he was obviously those years in the Snake Pit, or years as a high level wrestler in the WWE or WWF at that time. I think, again, absolutely just outstanding. He is one of the best promos of all time, bar none. And we're leaving off guys, modern guys like LA Knight, MJF, and that's
Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper, absolutely. Roddy Piper, absolutely. When he at the top of his game would give a sensational promo that would give the crowd a boost. I know Arn Anderson, we also didn't do, but sometimes he would, Roddy Piper would go and just start going all over the place sometimes. So sometimes you would have to keep him centered. But man, Roddy Piper, when you got him in the 90s during the rock and music era, when you got him, he would get the hatred from the fans like very few other people ever on this planet. I'm still looking for the La Cucaracha promo that instantly got him so much hate. I would love to see that promo, to see how angry those fans were in the Olympic Auditorium in LA as far as the Hispanic fans against him, because again, to generate that kind of nuclear heat is absolutely a gift that Roddy Piper certainly had. Absolutely had, and he is definitely one of the greatest promos of all time.
Wasn't that whole story, or that whole run with the Guerreros, correct or no?
Yes, that was based off of the run with the Guerreros, and they fed off each other extremely well during that mid to late 70s era, and again leading into 1980 or whatnot. And yeah, again, oh man, if I could see that footage, just to see how you get it done as far as that type of nuclear heat, and as offensive as it was, absolutely, you know, that's in that period of time, that's what you did in order to try and generate that type of heat, and absolutely wanted to go ahead and you know, if I could see any type of footage from the wrestling past, I think that's probably where I'd go as far as the thing I'd like to see the most. But with that said, again, some outstanding promos. You have your list. I have my list. The Jim Cornette promos, when they were giving him spots on Raw, to go and do those shoot promos that he did for a little while. I want to go ahead and give that a shout out, because if you remember, that was something where, okay, they want you to fill up some time, 2 to 3 minutes, and they would give him time. So he went off on everything that WCW was doing wrong, or went off on wrestling journalists, or what have you. Even the current product that was at that time in the WWF, he would be allowed to go ahead and give those shoot promos. So they were great. He also has a great one from Smoky Mountain that if you go ahead and type in Jim Cornette's best promo, that is also a top tier, top 10 promo if you get a chance to hear it, of Jim Cornette's. The ECW One Night Stands with Paul Heyman is an outstanding promo there. That's a shoot style promo galore if you're really into that as well.
Yeah, and we forgot about Bobby the Brain Heenan, another great promo guy. I mean, and Nick Bockwinkel to an extent too, albeit his was a little bit more snooty. Like, I don't know if it had the same impact, the same punch. I think that's
it's a correlation of where he was at that point in time. Right. As the old wrestler in his 50s, still trying to carry a company, maybe longer than what it should have been. Not his fault. You're given the ball, but you know, it just, he gave a good, like you said, snooty, I'm better than you promo, as far as it's concerned. Absolutely fantastic and could go off for several minutes in doing so. But it fit more, I think, as far as a 70s style. But mm-hmm. when it was brought out in the 80s, I just don't think it related to an audience, which was part of the downfall of the AWA in itself. But Nick Bockwinkle as a performer in and out of the ring, you can never question on how good he really was.
Nope.
But any last promos we need to talk about, or promo people cutting promos? I'm sure we forgot a lot of people. So let us know in the comments.
I have two that were the worst that I think we need to talk about.
Okay.
I mean, the one is, of course, we're live, pal. With Sid Vicious.
Yes.
Where he wants to redo the promo and Jim Ross goes, "We're live, pal."
So, oh, well, don't forget he was the one where I love Sid Vicious. Always, rest in peace. But the one where he said, you know, "I'm half the man you think you are," that where he messed up and the guys in the ring, Hall and Nash, were laughing at him because of that.
The greatest bad promo ever, I think, is the Ultimate Warriors WrestleMania 6 promo, where he pretty much talks about how he's going to rip the door off the plane and crash the plane, and Hulk Hogan's not ready for this. Just of all the crazy promos that dude cut, this to me is like the crown jewel, if you will, of bad Ultimate Warrior promos.
Oh, there's a lot of bad promos, man. Don't even get me started. That's, again, 9 hours and a headache I do not want. But it is, of course, John Orlando from the PVD Cast. Please go ahead and subscribe today, wherever you get your podcasts, and me right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos as well. Well, John, we'll be back with our monthly State of Pro Wrestling, mm-hmm. more State of Pro Wrestling specials included as well. Any last thoughts really quickly before we head on out?
No, keep on loving wrestling, folks. Watch what you want to watch. Enjoy what you want to enjoy. And before you know it, you'll be hearing us talk about wrestling again.
So for John Orlando, this is Gerald Glassford. It is the State of Pro Wrestling from the PVD Cast and the Pop Culture Cosmos. Make sure you go ahead, like, and subscribe. And we'll be back here on a monthly basis right here at the State of Pro Wrestling. Thanks so much again for watching us, and hopefully you'll be back to catch us next time at the State of Pro Wrestling. Ding, ding, ding. Yep.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Gerald Glassford, talking about promos, looking at them from all different angles. And I hope that you enjoyed this special evergreen edition of the podcast. And maybe you liked it so much that you have some comments for me. Well, let me tell you how you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. You can drop me a line over on Facebook, Instagram, or Threads. Just look for @PVDcast. And I'm still on Twitter. You can find me over at my personal handle there of @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can hear the PVD cast. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First off, you can find it at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every single new episode. But it's also available through your favorite podcasting outlet or app. All you have to do is go to your search bar of your favorite outlet or app, plug in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you are using, of course, your favorite podcasting outlet or app to listen to the PVDcast, make sure that you rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it's super important for me. So if you could do me that favor, and also do yourself a favor and subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. So there you go. We got two ways in which you can hear the show. And here's the third and final way, that every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little Facebook broadcast through the Facebook page. So definitely you got three easy ways to check out the show. PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, through your favorite podcasting outlet and app, and of course, the live broadcast through the Facebook page every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2026.